This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. And today I'm honored to have Sky with me. And you guys figure that one out, the unique name club. You guys figure out Gwen and Sky. And the reason why I brought Sky on is because of her work in podcasting and my work in journalism, although right now from journalism it's gone, taking a little bit of a break just because I need to, and I am actually tomorrow deciding what my next step in journalism is going to be. But enough of my programming announcement. I'm going to Miss Sky, take it away.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is such fun. I'm also feeling honored to be on your show and would love to have a back and forth and ask you some of my own questions as well.
I would love that. I would love that as well. So, Sky, you do a podcast / a newsletter, don't you?
Yes, yes. We've just launched the podcast in the last couple of weeks. So now we have both. But they're two very different things, actually.
So how are they different? Well, once audio.
Well, so the newsletter is, the readers for the newsletter are a mix of avid podcast fans and podcasters themselves. And that, I would say, is probably true also for the podcast. But what I do with the newsletter is to try to find like the little nuggets of interesting things about podcasting, the 10 most interesting things about podcasting that happened that day. And so it might be just an article that published that I want people to know about, might be an episode of something that I happened to listen to and really thought was, you know, incredible. Like, I think today or at my last newsletter, I recommended the first episode, the inaugural episode of the 1619 podcast about slavery that just came out from New York Times Magazine. So I can do things like that. But I also really love to find things that people maybe who are busy and are doing other things in their lives don't have time to find. So some discussion that's going on in Twitter, or yesterday I discovered that the producer for the Jordan Harbinger show wants to start some kind of a podcast club, and he had asked people if he had sort of described it on Twitter and asked if people were interested, and so I included that in my newsletter. So it's sort of like bits and pieces of stuff that's actively going on right now, either in the news or just in the world of podcasting. My podcast is different. And it's funny because a lot of people said, well, why don't you just do the same thing on your podcast? Like, have your podcast be about what's going on in podcasting. But, you know, that's what I focus on most of the time. And so I wanted to do something different. And so the podcast is a show in which I interview podcast hosts about their craft. So it's sort of like if you've ever seen Inside the Actor's Studio on television.
Yes,
yeah,
I have.
It's kind of like that, but for podcasts. And
I'm
really excited to do something different. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a terrific segue, you guys, because I know I've been going back and forth. Should I keep Aswin or should I get rid of it completely? Well, my schedule has changed enough where I could keep Aswin. But, here's a but, you guys. It's only going to be out on Tuesdays because I can only do it on Tuesdays. So when I record the episode, it will automatically land up on a feed once I hand it over to my assistant. So that will be a once a week show, but I am keeping Aswin, and plus I am doing the Diary of a Fashionista And
right.
I am
yeah.
working on another podcast with someone else, which I'm not allowed to speak about yet. But I will be fully involved in that one, actually. And so Ask Gwen is taking a little bit of a back seat. And I apologize, you guys, because Ask Gwen had to take a major back seat. Like, in May, I disbanded for months to deal with my father's lung cancer.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I disbanded for months, Sky, because my dad got diagnosed with lung cancer and then had a heart attack on May 19th, cardiac arrest on May 19th. So after being diagnosed with lung cancer, April and
Does
May.
Does he live nearby? Like, can you see
he
him?
He lived with me. And I lost my mom also in 2010. So I'm not.
Do you have siblings?
I don't. I'm only child, and I have a stepsister, but she's not blood related.
Yeah. Well, I ask because, unfortunately, this podcast isn't ready to go, but there was someone, when I was at Podcast Movement a couple weeks ago, I was a judge for a podcast competition, and the woman who won, in fact, I have to email her, the woman who won, I loved her idea. She's an only child, and so am I. I did have a stepbrother as well, but unfortunately, he passed. But she wants to do a podcast about what it's like to do things like take care of your ailing or dying parents when you're an only child, or all of the things that come with that.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't that be a great podcast?
Took care of my dad for 9 days with help. The scariest moments of my life were, is he going to fall but not be able to get back up again due to a heart attack, due to he couldn't even speak at the end of his life. And that's scary, being only child. And this is the first time I have admitted it on this podcast. It was the scariest moment of my life, saying to the EMTs, on a Tuesday morning, I'm sitting here in my PJs, and I said, yes, he needs help. Don't leave him until my stepmother got home. And he was, no, I don't need help. I need oxygen. And me, I'm screaming at the EMTs, yes, he needs help and he needs oxygen and we need to get him out of here. And that was the scariest moment of my life. And I didn't have the help and support I do now. That help and support came later that day, and that was the scariest moment of my life, saying to the EMTs, yes, he needs help. Yes, he needs oxygen. And my dad wanted to go back to the local hospital, which the local hospital did nothing, you guys. They diagnosed him as having pneumonia in a shadow on his lung. Turns out he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer the moment we got to Denver. And so that was the scariest moment of my life, being helpless while trying to help him.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah. Yeah, and
scary stuff, and I know it's going to happen to all of us, but doesn't make it any easier when it's actually happening.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And so when that podcast about being an only child happens, let me know, Sky, because I would like to support that podcast as well and maybe invite myself on that podcast just to talk my experience from a disability standpoint
being child.
Yeah. I think that would be really, really interesting. So how did you learn how to podcast? I mean, I am still very much in the learning phase myself, and I'm just curious. I mean, you've been doing it for a fairly long time.
I was writing a book at the time I started podcasting. And what people don't tell you is I have an iPhone. We're doing it via my iPhone today, and Sky and I. And so people don't tell you about the purple magic button on the iPhone. And I love the color purple. So I, the curious cat that I am, I went to that big purple button. I'm like, ooh, what's that big purple button? So I pushed it, and of course, nothing came up. And so I typed in writing a book. And of course, the creative pen pops up. Joanna Penn out of the UK does a fabulous podcast. And a long, long, long time ago now, I was featured on her podcast. It's still on the website, you guys, thecreativepen.com. And so I started listening to the Creative Pen. I still do to this day. And then I typed in cerebral palsy. Of course, nothing came up. And I'm like, bingo, this is going to be my niche market. Nothing came up. And believe it or not, the last time I checked, there are about 18 cerebral palsy podcasts in the podcasting apps. 3 of them belong to me. So the rest of them are defunct.
They're defunct, really?
Yeah, because people want
the market.
people want to do it and try it, and there are free podcasting apps out there that shall not be mentioned on this podcast. And they also have a big purple button, and they begin with A. And the podcasters who listen to this podcast know exactly what podcast hosts I'm talking about. And so people want to try podcasting, but you got to stick with it. You got to stick with it. And believe it or not, I'm actually in the process of teaching my aide, and I won't admit ages on this podcast, but teaching my aide how to listen to a podcast, because she's with me 12 hours a day, and it's like, okay, you need to listen to this podcast as you're cooking dinner, as you're doing whatever you're doing. And she goes, she mentioned to me in the call one day, she goes, what's this whole podcasting thing? And I'm like, okay, now I've got you on the track of listening to a podcast. And eventually we're going to start another podcast, which I'm going to be heavily involved with, which I really can't say anything about now because we don't have enough information to go off of. But I think the more we teach people about podcasting, the better. And I know that Sarah Warner, who does the Right Now podcast, also does Go in Space, was featured on her local news station. They did a segment with her about creativity and podcasting. And I know Jen Bliney was, Jen Bliney of Congressional Dish was featured on C-SPAN. And she did a wonderful job, I've been told. And then Nikayla Matthews of Side Hustle Pro was featured on the Today Show talking about her passion and turning that into a full-time gig. And so the more we teach the mainstream about
podcasting better.
That's great. Well, I can't wait to hear about your upcoming secret project. When do you think you'll have information?
If everything works according to plan,
once you have the information, when you have the information, you should give me a heads up, and I'll write about it in the newsletter.
I will give you the heads up, because we are aiming for October, but hopefully everything will work out. We are aiming for October, but starting a new podcast is a little bit of a challenge, and I am willing to help this brand new podcaster get up and off the ground, knowing me. But I this secret project that Sky and I are talking about now, we're aiming for October if everything goes according to plan, which now it's looking like it's going according to plan. But I just think if we teach the mainstream about podcasting, the better.
Yeah. Well, do you remember Paul Kondo, who writes the podcast Gumbo newsletter, and Ariel Nissenblatt, who runs the Earbuds Podcast Collective, did it was called like Share Your Buds Day. And the idea was that all podcasters should find someone to share their earbuds with. But really what that meant was just to explain to someone how to listen to podcasts.
Exactly.
And it was the first time they did it. I don't know what the response was like. I mean, I posted a picture and I don't know how many other people did, but hopefully they'll do it every year and it can really become part of that same effort of trying, because so many people, I mean, I posted on Twitter the other day, can someone please write an article about how to leave a review on Apple Podcasts? Because so many of us on our podcast say, please leave us a review and help people find the show.
Apple
people don't know. Like, they don't know these things that we take for granted.
You can't leave a review on the iPhone. You just can't. I don't use Apple Podcast as my main driver. I use Pocket Cast, Overcast, and then Stitcher, because Stitcher works on Android and the iOS devices. We're really lucky to have iOS devices with the built-in app, but those of you on Android no matter what your age, you are in a sticky wicket, and that's what my aide was in. And I tried. I Googled it, and I'm like, here. I threw it at her. I'm like, here. Here's, and she got it. She got it. So one step forward, but Android users are actually in the sticky wicket of not having the capabilities to listen to podcasts, and especially if you have a smart speaker, Amazon or Google, you have to enable a skill to listen to a podcast, which I've enabled, and we've talked about this, but and I'm everywhere, and Sky, I presume you're everywhere with your podcast, but we need to promote podcasting as another form of YouTube, because people know how to search YouTubes, they just don't know about this podcasting thing.
Right. Well, there's so many ways now that people can get there. I mean, I'm sort of curious what you think about that whole YouTube thing, because I'm hearing a lot about that, about how beneficial it can be to post, like, you know, video of your podcast on YouTube. Is it something you've ever considered doing?
I have, and I've got trolls. I have.
You got what? Sorry?
I've got bots. Bots crawling the videos, and I gave it up because people don't, people watch YouTubes, but they don't necessarily listen to YouTubes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I've only watched a couple podcasts on YouTube, and that was because I was super interested in the guest, and I was chained to my computer, which to me,
I
love being able to be mobile, you know, and get the car, or whatever.
That's what I told. That's what I told my friend, who I'm now teaching how to listen to a podcast. I said, this is going to be on Monkin Inn because of the podcast I'm doing with her, because most people don't want to be chained to their computers. There's no way.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way, no how. I mean, most people, if you can get away with it, and I'm really, really lucky that my workplace allows me to use my phone, so my personal phone, so I can listen to podcasts as long as they're kid appropriate, which now they don't have to be because I'm not in the classroom anymore. So, that was a sketchy time there, because I'm like, I don't have kid appropriate podcasts, and I even though I listen to it all and I limited to bad language, I don't have kid appropriate podcasts. And I know NPR does Way on the World for Kids, and someone else does Finn Caspian Kid and their kid appropriate podcasts. So you can find them, but they're not so easily found. And so, so that was a trick and a half using my personal phone to in the workplace. And most of these, when you talk about employers, most of these employers block personal websites from work computers.
That's right.
And so, yeah. So at least, and I won't be surprised if they start blocking Spotify and Apple Podcasts, because as long as you do it tastefully, and I know that some workplace policies are different, you can have your headphones in as long as you're doing the work, but some workplace policies. I have a friend, Stargate Pioneer, who downloads on a iPod Classic, and they don't make those anymore. Thank you very much.
Oh,
iPod Classic, and listens at work. And so, yeah, that's the way Stargate Pioneer does it. And by the way, if you want his podcast is called Better Podcasting with Stephen Gondro out of Canada. And so, Better Podcasting. Yeah. That's what those guys do. And they've been doing it for a couple of years now. And I, even though they consider themselves hobby podcasters, and I'm at the end of hobby podcasting, where I'm coming into the professional realm of podcasting. But
can I interrupt you and ask you a question?
Yeah.
You do not need to answer this if it's too personal, or you can edit it out. But are you making a real living from podcasting?
I am not, but I'm making more of a living off my books. And
you're primarily a journalist, not a podcaster,
living
right?
Living off my writing than I am my podcasting. I wish I was, but I'm primarily a journalist.
Yeah.
Journalist my haunt and soul.
I think that that's much more typical. I think it's pretty rare to be able to make, make a real living from this. But, you know, if you're a celebrity, it's not that hard, apparently.
No.
But I do think that it's hard. So it's good to have, you know, I have my newsletter and you have your book, and hopefully the two support one another.
Yeah, well, hopefully the two do support one another. So I want, as we wrap this interview up, Sky, I want to ask you, if you had to be educated by anyone dead or alive, inside or outside your field of podcasting, who would it be and why?
If I had to be educated by someone either inside or outside my field about podcasting?
It can be anything. It doesn't have to be podcasting. It could be anything.
Oh my gosh. That's such a good question. Give me a second. Can I name someone who I know, who I just think is super?
Yeah, go ahead.
So there's a woman named Patty Whitfler, and she sort of started this parenting movement called Hand in Hand Parenting. It's actually been around for decades. But I'm a mom and I have two kids and I love them dearly, but they also, like all kids, can drive their parents bananas. And sometimes you don't, you know, there's no handbook for what to do in complicated situations. And so Patty is someone who is just so incredibly smart about kids and about listening to kids and letting kids sort of offload their emotions so that they can be their best selves. But at the same time, she knows how to set limits with kids too. And that balance is complicated for me sometimes. So if I could be educated by anyone and just sort of like have someone on my shoulder all the time, because when I'm not podcasting, I'm being a wife or I'm parenting. And I feel more confident and sure of myself in podcasting, believe it or not, than I do sometimes about parenting. I would love to just have her sort of like live in my ear and say like, okay, so I get that this is happening and here's what you should do.
And
I'm sure a lot of parents can relate to that.
I can relate to that. As I said, I lost my dad in May and lost my biological mom in 2010. So 9 years ago. So the wisdom that they taught me still lives with me in me today. And I'm like, why? Why am I walking through this as an only child? Why am I walking? My question, why? Why have to do that? And now the kids are going to drive you guys bananas because they go back to school. And I am a retired educator myself. And I work closely with retired educators. And so I know that these next couple of weeks, the kids will drive you bananas. So you might have to walk away and tune in to Ask Win or tune into Diary of a Fashionista. I'll just
or read one of your books.
I'll read one of my books on Audible. Thank you very much. I put them on Audible. And so
I didn't know that. Cool.
I put them on Audible and they're via ACX, and that's how I do it. I did it for the disabled population, but it turns out the able-bodied population likes them as well. And so you can find I Come a Win in all formats, and you can do podcasting with me and all my social media. And because even though we love kids, they are going to drive us bananas until at least December. And then they kind of get in the swing of school, kind of. And then we carry them through. We, as educators, carry them through until spring break. And then they just lose it. And then it's like, by the time spring break is over, they just want out. The teachers want out. We're all done. And they, So,
it's a roller coaster for sure. It always is.
But so my advice to those parents out there, I'm trying to give sage advice here and wisdom, is hang on. Hang on and work together as a team with your educator, because, and don't forget that your child may have an undiagnosed disability. That's always a fun one.
Yeah.
That's always a fun one when the school psychologist diagnosed. That's always a fun one when you find out from a psychologist after you do mental test for something that you have ataxia cerebral palsy. I didn't realize that until I was in my 30s. I knew I had CP, but I didn't know the official diagnosis until I read it on a psychology report.
Wow.
And
that's
so
really astounding.
Yeah. And so because the way my mom, the way my biological mom presented it to me, and I love her with grace, but I almost killed her today. She presented it to me. I was very lucky. I went to a private school where I work now. This is my, I'm exiting gracefully at the end of this school year, by the way, and becoming a journalist.
Congratulations.
And so, thank you. And so the way my mom presented it to me, and my fan base knows this story, is she puts me in the car one day. I'm sitting in the front seat. And she must have talked to my dad or something to say, I'm going to drive Wynn to school, because we at that point got rid of the one-on-one aid for me, which we were paying privately. And she must have talked to my dad the night before and said, I'm going to drive Wynn to school. Well, anyway, she's in her exercise clothes. And she gets to the bottom of my school driveway and turns to me and looks me straight in the eyes and says, I have something to tell you. You have a physical disability. And that physical disability is CP. Now, and she pulls forward and she goes, now go have a nice day.
Aww.
That is how my mom presented it to me.
That must have been so hard for you. Was that hard for you?
Yeah. Yeah. That was.
Oh, that's rough.
A little shocking. And then when I got to high school, I actually Googled what is CP, and they came up with the term cerebral palsy. 1,000 babies are diagnosed with it, and I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And then when I got out of high school, I still didn't know, and I didn't find out until I was in my 30s because of a psychology report I was doing for something else, nothing having to relate to CP. They just wanted to see if I was confident enough to have a trust fund. And so that's how I found out my official diagnosis. I found out my official diagnosis in a grocery store parking lot. In a grocery store parking lot. Because I
Why do you think that she couldn't really spend more time talking to you about it?
Because she was in denial. She had miscarriage before she had me.
Okay.
She had a miscarriage before she had me. So I'm a miracle baby in more ways than one.
Well, I think that really did you a disservice. I have to say, I'm sure your mom was a good person, but I do think that it's hard not to be able to process that with someone. My daughter is actually severely dyslexic, which is obviously different. But, you know, also an intense learning disability for her. And it comes with some other little things as well. And when I decided that it was time for her to know, because she really was, you know, she was going to go to a different school and we were going to give her some more support. You know, I spent a weekend talking to her about it. And, you know, to be honest, I think it's still hard for her to sort of, you know, I mean, she's taken more ownership over it now. She can advocate for herself a little bit, but it's hard even without the digesting with another person about it. It's still hard. So, I think that just says a lot about your resilience, that you got through that, even though you didn't have a chance to really talk about it too much.
No.
You know, you're so open about it now, which I think is great. I think it's a hard thing to accept, even when you do get the, hey, you know, for a whole weekend, we can talk about this, whatever you want. But, you know, it's still hard.
Yeah.
Still hard.
Yeah, it's still hard. And at the time, my parents did not have Google, did not have the books on how to raise a child with CP because I was born in 87. And so, and my dad he didn't want people to know that I actually have a disability on top of CP, which is a traumatic brain bleed. My brain
was hurt.
It's a brain bleed, meaning my brain bled out. And 3-4 days after I was diagnosed with CP, and I swear, without that brain bleed, my CP would be less severe than it is. But my brain has overcome the challenges of having CP. But when you look at me, you know that I'm a CP case right from the get-go. And so, and I proudly display a Twitter profile picture. All my profile online social media aspects have CP in them because that's me. That's me, my heart and soul. And so I want to show people that they can use their disabilities as a gift, not disabilities per se. I really want to know where can people find you and how can people get a hold of you.
Sure. So I'm on Twitter, just at Sky Pillsbury. So it's super easy. It's just my name. And then so people can find me there. I think my DMs are always open. You can also email me if you like, sky@inside.com. If people want to find my show, it's at, you know, you can find it anywhere you find shows. The name is Inside Podcasting. And my newsletter is at inside.com/podcasting. So those are all the ways that you can find me and my stuff.
Those are all the ways. And keep up the good work, Sky. And
thanks.
You're one of the ones I follow. I also follow Haley Durant of Podcast Junkies.
Yes.
So
yes, I just mentioned him in my newsletter today, actually.
I've somehow got to get myself to Podcast Movement. Thank you very much. In Dallas, Texas. And we're working on that. We're slowly but actually looking on that. I am sorry I missed it in Orlando. I had more of a access in Orlando than I do Dallas. But I will eventually, I'm putting this out to the universe, I will make it to Podcast Movement this
coming. Oh, terrific. I can't wait to meet you in person.
And because I need to hug my fans. My fans have pulled a lot of tissues for me, especially this summer. And they're going to pull more tissues once they find out what's truly going on in my life. But I'll mention that we're doing a double episode on September 12th on both feeds, Aswin and the Diary of a Fashionista. But you guys won't hear it until Friday morning, September 13th. And you guys will be shocked what I'm going through right now. I can't say what I'm going through right now. But let's just put it this way. I won't let this winning spirit drag me down. And so once that episode drops, you guys can ask me a million questions about it. And
I'm looking forward to hearing. Keep me posted.
I will. And I appreciate you guys supporting me. And I appreciate you guys supporting Sky. Please go subscribe to Inside Podcasting and follow Sky on Twitter, and then we'll make it work. Thanks, you guys.
Terrific. Thanks so much. This is great to chat with you. I really enjoyed it.